of God than the vine. And before you, you see the sturdiness and the awesomeness and the strength of the vine. And you see the branch that is growing out of the vine. And in the world of botany, there is certainly no tree that can picture, if you will, the relationship that God has to the as a vine to the branch than this vine. And no other fruit is so useful, people, to mankind as in different forms as the fruit of the vine. And in the secular world, no fruit is so full of the Spirit. But none also has such a natural tendency to go in different directions, and no other in the world of botany tree needs the constant pruning and the constant cutting, because if not cared for properly, the growth is ready to go into wood, and it will be utterly worthless except to be thrown into the fire and burned. And of all the plants, there is no plant like the vine that needs the knife so often. And so today, in our series of Life in the Vine, we come to lesson 3, which has to do with the branches in pain. And while some trees are planted for shade and some for ornament and some for wood, the vine is for the fruit. The vine is for the fruit. Holly, would you put the overlay on, please? We want to review part 1 and part 2 before we go to our lesson today. And I'd like for you to just remember, if you will, that we are told in lesson number 1 that we are to abide in me. To abide means to remain. It means to continue. It means to dwell. And we've done quite well with the Matthew account, coming to me. We haven't done too good with the account of remaining in the vine. And the two halves make the whole. And would you read with me? Without the vine, the branch can do nothing. To the vine, that's today. Without the vine, the branch can do nothing. To the vine, we owe our right of place in the vineyard. Let me hear you say this. Without the branch, the vine can do nothing. A vine without branches can bear no fruit. All the vine possesses belongs to the branch. All the branch possesses belongs to the vine. Our reason of existence is to be of service to the vine. In part 2, we notice first that our part 1 was branches in the vine. Secondly, branches in prayer. Today, we're going to look at branches in pain. The matter is that you are already clean because of the word. The fruit is, ask whatever you wish, that is, if you remain in me. And it's clear, answers come by abiding in Jesus, and it is for the Father's glory. And then read with me, if you will, glorify thy name in my prayer request should not make you afraid to entertain a wish, for should lead to your evaluating your asking items. You have full command at your disposal. To Christ, the Father refuses nothing. Abide in Jesus. So it's quite clear that our feeble prayers are due not to not abiding and the word not remaining. Holly, pass this out, please. We want to review these sentences from Jesus' lips. We want them to be burned into our memory. From John 15, and may we read together, when we all have the paper. Okay, together. I am the vine, true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withered. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever, and it will be given you. This is for my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. These are a lot of sentences from Jesus, and they're so beautiful. And I just trust that as we go through these in these five Sundays of this month, that these words will just become burned in your memory, etched in your very being, and you will participate in them. And whether you like it or not, today's study in branches and pain hits us all. Now, I am one that does not like pain. But I read in the Word of God, as you read with me today, that there are the times in our life when we do experience the pain. And so I'd like for you just to look at four things this day. First of all, the object, the objective, which is the goal. Secondly, the oneness, which is the way. Thirdly, the owner, which is the boss. And fourthly, the operation, that's a good word, which is the method of the pruning. First of all, the objective. Read with me, if you will, line Q, which comes from verse 8 in the Bible. Let's read line Q together, would we? This is for my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciple. So here is the objective. We've got a mandate to bear fruit. And so I'm just going to ask, are you bearing fruit? Are you bearing fruit? This is why you are a branch. You can't bear the fruit unless you are attached to the vine. Now, in the course of these Sundays, we've asked our church members to come forward and pick out a branch and put it in the vine. If you have not done this as a member of our church, would you come forward and pick up a branch and put in the vine? Okay. Now, I have purposely not replaced them as I did last Sunday with fresh growths for a reason. And it's really easy to become attached as a branch to the vine. I mean, that was sort of painless, wasn't it? You accepted the invitation to come unto me. I gave you the invitation. You have come. You've accepted what Jesus gave you. And these three ladies have become attached to the vine. That's really great. But you'll notice that some of these are wilting. And last Sunday, they all were so fresh because I got brand new ones for last Sunday. But this Sunday, I left them this way as a visual because we sometimes are not as good as we could be, and we're not as fruitful, obviously. And the reason why is quite obvious. They're not really attached. In other words, they are there, but they're not abiding in the vine. Jesus said, abide in the vine. And that's our point. We got to abide in the vine. So the first thing we're looking at today is why we're abiding in the vine, and that is obviously for the fruit that we can produce. We need to produce this fruit. Have you ever thought that you are God's workmanship? Say that. I am God's workmanship. This is beautiful to think. I'm God's workmanship. God has created me for a purpose, and I am his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. The scripture says, unto good works, grafted by him into Christ, into the bringing forth of much fruit. Everything God has made has exquisitely performed as he wants it to perform. For example, he said, I'm going to make the great light, the sun. And it just performs beautifully, doesn't it? He says, I'm going to make an eye. It just performs beautifully, doesn't it? And so he said, I'm going to make man, and we must evaluate whether or not we are functioning properly to the end result of our objective, which is to bear fruit. We have a reason for living. And the fruit that we have To give to God is in kingdom extension, among many other things, which is a result of intercession, I might add. And so he's taken us into custody with himself, as if in partnership for himself, making, and listen to this, he is making our prayers his standard for the world. In other words, he is limiting himself by our prayers. And so when he says, if you abide in me and I abide in you, you can ask for whatever you will and it will be done. In a sense, God has tied up his hands in your prayers of intercession. And he is sort of saying, I want this happening in your life. I want this to happen in your city, but I can't do it until you are involved more in intercession. The measure of the working of his power to a degree outside of miraculous intervention is due to our prayers of intercession. Let me repeat that. The measure of the working of God today in our city is predicated upon our prayers to him in intercession. And he's placed the powers of the heavenly world at our disposal. And so he's saying, abide in me, abide in me, so that you can have fruit. That's the objective. The second thing is the oneness. Read with me line L, if you will, which is verse 5. The oneness. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. This is the oneness. The object is to stay with him. And the lesson is so graphic that if we don't abide in him, we're just gonna fall off. We've got to have the oneness, and I think enough said on that. Number 3, the owner. Read verse A, if you line A. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He is the boss, people. He's the boss. I mean, this is the boss. This is the vine. We are the branches. And as a, well, your translations may say a husbandman, they may say a gardener, they may say a wine dresser, but it is one equates to who is in care of the vineyard. It says here, and you just read it, and I heard it with my ears from your lips, my Father is the gardener. God is the gardener. And in the role of a gardener, he loves his vineyard. He cares for his vineyard. He is concerned about his vineyard. He is interested in the growth and the welfare of his vineyard. So as I am part of him, the gardener, the boss, says, I love you. Now, the vineyard was a symbol of the people of Israel, and I guess you could say in whose midst the really true vine was to stand, and of course branches are the individual. Let me read Isaiah 27, 2 and 3. If you have your Bible, if you'd like to follow, I'll pause for you looking up Isaiah 27, verse 3, and verse 2 as well. Isaiah 27, 2 and 3. Sing about a fruitful vineyard. I, the Lord, watch over it. I water it continually. I guard it day and night so that no one may harm it. Now, these verses are similar to what I just said about the boss and as a husbandman, as the guy who is taking care of the vineyard. He loves it. It says here, I'm watching over it. People, he's watching over you. He's watching over you. I water it continually. I guard it day and night. Remember, the scripture says that God doesn't sleep. So he's guarding our branch life so that no one may harm it. This is the object of the boss. And of course, Christ is the true vine bringing forth good fruit in us. While we're in Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 5, I will sing for the one I love a song about my vineyard. My loved one had a vineyard on a fertile hill. He dug it up and cleared it of stones and planted it with the choicest vines. He built a watchtower in it, cut out a wine press as well. Then he looked for a crop of good grapes, but it yielded only bad fruit. And now you dwellers in Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more could have been done for my vineyard than I have done for it? When I looked for good grapes, why did it yield only bad? Now I tell you what I'm going to do to my vineyard. I will take away its hedge and it will be destroyed. I will break down its walls, and it will be trampled. I will make it a wasteland, neither pruned nor cultivated, and briars and thorns will grow there. I will command the clouds not to rain on it." That was a word of explanation. The vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are the garden of his delight. And he looked for justice, but saw bloodshed, for righteousness, but heard cries of distress. In Isaiah's writing here, he speaks very graphically about God and his relationship to men, about we as individuals are the branches, but he comes and he doesn't find much fruit. And so he comes today in our midst, for example, looking for fruit on our part, but as the owner, he is also making a declaration to us, which is very clear, and the declaration is, I am present, this is my position, as a husbandman, as a gardener. We read in Isaiah 27, for example, that he is watching, he is ever present, every moment. And it seems like it's the law of his love, and it's the law of my hope. Day by day, amid discouragement, it says here, he's right there, moment by moment, watching over the vineyard. Day by day, discouragement and difficulties. He says, be of good cheer, this way that I am with you will bring you to rest. And through severe storms, and the storms we've had in California recently, the worst in hundreds of years, are sort of a picture akin to the storms that we're going through in our life. There's not one of you, if you would be honest, can say, I'm not going through a difficult time. The degrees, of course, vary. But amid the storms, he is saying, I will be faithful to you. I will guard you every moment of the day. The strong vine holds the feeble branches. I love that. The strong vine. Holds these little feeble branches amid all the storms and amid all the things that can happen. So the word is only believe and only stay attached. Now we bring ourselves to the fourth part, which is the most important. And I want you to read, if you will, line B, C, and D. This is the operation that needs to take place. B, C, and D. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. The method that he has is to cut and prune. And this is very, very difficult. It is just like taking the pruning shears and saying, as a husbandman, I've got to prune. I've just got to prune. And the pruning that he does is this four-letter word that P-A-I-N spells. It's pain. It's pain. Because he comes, or he allows something to come, and snips. And when he snips, it hurts. Now, if this was a branch, and his branches could talk, and the pruner comes in, the husbandman, and he says, and the little thing says, ouch! It hurts. It hurts. When we have pain, it hurts. Now, sometimes we show pain differently. With the severe headaches that I have, you may not even know it when you look in my eyes, but if I dropped this piano on my toe, ow, you would hear the difference. We respond to pain differently. Now, here's the operation. God says, according to his word, that if you are bearing fruit, I'm going to prune you. Now, follow this. If you bear fruit, I'm going to prune you, and the scripture is so that you can bear more fruit. So let's establish that. If you're bearing fruit, and all of you are bearing fruit, scripture says he prunes you. But it also says that if you're fruitful. If you're fruitless, the scripture says what? I will remove you. I will remove you so that you will not hinder the work of my spirit in the other branches. Now, how is that possible? Well, if you could just visualize this. If we got a big, beautiful branch coming out here, I mean, it's just pleasant to the eyes and bearing no fruit, God says, I'm going to take it out. Now, if it's this big, and there's some branches down here that are trying to bear fruit, you say, well, God, why would you take away a pleasant-looking vine, a pleasant-looking branch, so that When the branch is removed, more sun can come down into the area of the vine that is producing more fruit. Are you following me? And so the scripture says, to we who are bearing fruit, he prunes us because we're fruitful. But if you are fruitless, the scripture says, I will take you out. And notice that it is he who takes us out. Now, we are cut by pruning. And all of you have seen in the grapevine growing around our southern Monterey County, the pruners that come in. Sometimes they come in by hand, snip, snip, snip. Sometimes they come in with great operations of vehicles with big legs, big wheels. They just come in and automatically snip and clean and prune. They've got to prune so we'll have more grapes growing. When God comes with his big operations like floods, disasters, fires, big operations, big wheels, there is pain. And when God comes individually and just says one little thing in your life, I want to adjust, so I'll snip it. It can be small. But whether it's big or whether it's little, it causes and creates pain. And it's the pruning. And the reason God does the pruning is so that we can be better. Now, that doesn't make sense. I mean, it seems to me that if we're not suffering, we'll be okay. But God says, you need the pain. If I drop the, well, that's not a good example, but if we don't have pain, we're not going to know what's wrong. So God has given us this pain mechanism. On the other side of the coin, God has given us pain so that we can overcome and press ourselves closer to the vine. Now, as I see it, there are probably four areas, and there are many more, but they can probably go into these four areas, where we have to recognize the fact that God is pruning us, and the first is through affliction. Afflictions. The object of afflictions is to get we who are the branches closer to the vine. And whether we understand it or not, it is the method of God through afflictions. And we don't like afflictions, but it's the Father's purpose in sending them or allowing them. And it hurts us, and the pruning is there, but it is through these afflictions that we're going to abide closer in him. I don't know how it really works, but it does work. Beside afflictions, there are trials. In a storm, the oak tree in the trial sinks its roots deeper and deeper and deeper into the ground. And so when afflictions come and when trials come, it has that capability of making me sink my spiritual roots deeper into this vine so that the strength of the vine can be seen in my feeble branch. So trials cause me pain and cause you pain, but the trials are necessary because the trials are helping us if we will allow that to press closer in. And beside afflictions and trials, I've listed prosperity. This also is something that can be used in the opposite direction, or it can be used in the proper direction. From the world, we've got enjoyments. Enjoyments come, and these are things that we've got to watch how we prune ourselves. Because all too easily, these enjoyments of the world are satisfying us. And the bottom line is that the enjoyments of the world dull our spiritual sensitivity. I'm not saying enjoyments of the world are wrong. I'm saying we've got to be careful that we don't let them dull our spiritual sensitivity. Because Satan is the god of this world. And he would love to get you all distracted and do all kind of things. And those things do dull our spiritual perception. And it makes us unfit for communing with the Father. Our hearts, well, they're prone to wander in all different directions. And as long as Satan can get us to wander, then we're not going to really abide in the vine. And so to quote a paragraph from this Andrew Murray's book, which I'm reading, which wrote around the turn of the century, he says, not in the pruning of our lives, so in the pruning of our lives, God has indeed no pleasure in it, but will not keep back even the most painful chastisement if he thereby can guide his beloved child back home, abiding in the beloved son. Again, so in the pruning of our lives, all of you are experiencing the pain in many ways or another. God has indeed no pleasure in it, but will not keep back even the most painful chastisement if he can thereby guide his beloved child back home, abiding in his beloved son. So people, see in everything that causes you pain, see in everything, whether it's small or great, the Father's finger pointing back to, pointing to Jesus. So when we have the pain, when we are suffering chastisement, when God is pruning us, God is pruning us, let it be like he's saying, come on this direction, like a roadman in the detour would say, come this way and point this way. Through your pain and through your discomfort, through your heartaches, through all the things that you're going through, let it be a signal when God says, okay, that's established, but come on this way, come on this way, come on this way. Point you to Jesus, point you to Jesus, point you back to the beloved Son so that you can closely be with him. And so when you see it coming, you meet it in Christ Jesus. And when it is coming, and when it has come, you feel that you are more than conquerors because you are in Christ Jesus. And you are more in Jesus than you are in the difficulty because, listen to this, he is nearer to you than the affliction. The affliction's coming, but he's on the inside. And he is nearer to you in affliction than the affliction that may be affecting you. So the bottom line is this. If the believer is fruitful, he is pruned to produce more fruit. If the believer is unfruitful, he's taken away or removed from being part of the vine. And God can't take away the vine if it doesn't, if it hinders his purpose or if it's not useful. So I see in pain, as I have observed in my own life and in the lives of many of you, with physical pain, with psychological pain, with all the different things that come to it, I see in it that event in my life that says, come on, come on, don't get bogged down and don't focus in on the horrible pain, but see in the pain the Lord saying, come to me and then come up. Come to me and come up. And remember, he is closer to you than the pain. The object is our goal, fruitness. The oneness is with Jesus. The owner is the boss, and the operation is the method by which he says, come unto me, come unto me. Let's bow and pray, may we? Our Father, you have given us the call so many times to come to you, and especially at the beginning of our Christian experience, and we came. But now the call for us all is abide in me. Now you've come. Oh, you have come. But now he says, I want you to abide. I want you to abide. And don't let the trials and the things that come to us, Father, deter us or pull us away from the vine. But let us get close to you, Lord Jesus, in these afflictions. Some you do send. Some you do allow. But it is for the purpose. It is for the purpose that you have given to us. Jesus' name. Let's just stand in his presence, may we? Lord Jesus, it's like standing in your presence. We're saying, hey, here I am with the pain that's been caused by the chastisement. And I give you my pain, Jesus, so that I can be more fruitful. Thank you, God, that you love us enough to prune us. So the next time something comes toward us, Lord, and we see it's going to produce the pain, it's not that we're going to remove ourselves from it, but we're going to accept it so that we can be made better by it. And not just words or pie in the sky, by and by, but really where the rubber meets the road, right in our life, we are going to experience the presence of God as we abide in God. Amid the storms and the difficulties, the afflictions, the trials that come our way, abiding in the vine. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You're watching over your vineyard right here in this church. thank you for the fruit that's going to come from the branches in this church. And as the gardener tends very carefully, watching day and night over the vine, the branches, Lord, this pastor watches over these people, these branches that you've given me. And if you're here today and you would like to be prayed for or to stand in proxy for someone, if you'd like to have the anointing of oil or the laying on of hands, we'd like to allow you to come forward at this time. We don't want you to leave without being prayed for. Anyone? The Bible says if you're sick, and we'll put it in parentheses, and having stomach problems. Greg? Your hands are pointing right now, Father. Oh, I mean, I got...